the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018. I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And we're best friends. Welcome to episode 3, The Green-Eyed Monster.
Hi, Joss.
Hi, Kristen.
How are you?
I'm good.
I got dressed up for you today.
You look really good.
Thank you.
I like your earrings a lot.
My scarf is hiding the stain on my boob.
Well, so okay.
You're welcome. So today's episode is about envy or jealousy, often used interchangeably.
Often, yes.
But I did an exhaustive 30-second Google search, and I found... I found the difference is envy is defined as wanting what someone else has and resenting them for having it. Whereas jealousy is the fear of losing what you have to someone else. I mean, I think we use the terms interchangeably.
I know I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But being happy for your friend's good fortune is often a truer sign of friendship than being there for them when life is in the shitter, right?
Right, right.
And I'm going to embroider that on a pillow.
I think you should. Cross-stitching project.
But it really is hard to be happy when someone has... Well, I say it's hard to be happy for some people to be happy when they have what you think you want or deserve. But it's easy to swoop in and be Lady Bountiful in times of need. Don't you agree?
I do. There are different ways of showing envy, too, some of which we found in this fantastic article by Natasha Burton. It's called Don't Fool Yourself, 7 Signs That You're Being Passive-Aggressive.
Right. And in this conversation, we're talking about passive-aggressive envy.
Yes. And I loved this article so much because they give some great examples that really sort of nail the behavior that you can't really put your finger on or articulate, but there it is. So number one is making wistful statements. And the article says one passive-aggressive behavior happens when you want something but aren't asking for it directly.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when a friend mentions she'll be attending a party and you say, I wish I could go, or someone comes to the office in beautiful new shoes and you say, I wish I could get a pair like that, but sadly all my shoe money goes to rent.
Wah, wah. Wah.
I've done that. Because all my shoe money now goes to the mortgage.
It's so sad.
It's very sad. But it didn't feel passive aggressive to me at the time. But I can see how it might make the other person feel like they can't share their good news.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing is the backhanded compliment, right?
Yes.
I found people love to tell me I look tired. And you know what? I am, okay? Let's just get that out there. But, you know, when a friend says, oh, you look tired and you've spent half an hour on your makeup and hair.
Yeah.
It makes you feel kind of crappy.
Right.
I don't know if that's envy or just truth, but here's a better example.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joss.
If a friend gets engaged and you've been waiting for years for your boyfriend to propose, you might call her new ring cute.
Yeah.
Adorable.
We get it.
Or you might say that the diamond could be bigger. Should be bigger, which is not very nice.
Right.
Or if a friend buys a new house and you are still renting, you might call the new house cozy or say, well, that's a fixer-upper.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of just, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
And you know, if you ever do that, because we're all human, we all make mistakes. You know, there's nothing wrong to say, you know what, that was a shitty thing to say. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful house and I'm really happy for you.
Right. Another passive-aggressive behavior is ignoring or saying nothing. So someone gives you some good news and you just stand there sort of in the silence, which becomes really awkward. That's really mean. just be happy for someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If she says, guess what? I'm going to Paris. You don't just look at her dead-eyed.
Right. You kind of say... Yay! And you don't say, oh, I wish I could go, but I don't have the money.
Yeah.
You just say, great.
Yes. I'm happy for you.
And the fifth example here is leaving someone out. So an example of that is, let's not invite Karen because we don't want to come face to face with her fabulousness.
Right. She's just got too many things going for her.
Children are fabulous and adorable.
Well, her husband is amazing.
And he makes so much money.
Yeah. So, so we just avoid her. And that's very passive.
Yes.
And very nasty and very envious. And you don't want to be around someone because their life is going well.
And yours is not where you want it to be. Yeah. Yeah. So another example is sabotaging someone. So suppose you had a friend who got a writing award. It's a huge deal. The kind that you can put on your tombstone. Mm-hmm. At least I would. That very day, she gets an accidental email from her friend saying, "We all know that just because a book gets an award doesn't mean it's any good." Ugh. I mean, that's just a shitty way to kill a moment. Come on.
All right.
Be nice.
And we know someone who had that happen to
her. We do.
Yeah,
it was very mean.
It's hard. You know, you look back on that moment of such happiness, and then that person has to think, and that was also the day I got that email.
Yeah.
You know?
Horrible email. Way the other lesson in there is, be careful of reply all. You want to know who... You want to know who you're sending your emails
if
to.
If you're going to be catty, be careful.
Yes. another example is keeping score. So something like a good friend who's able to take vacations a lot, and you want to look at them and be happy for them and not say, "Didn't you just go on vacation?"
Right.
That's mean.
Right.
Or I thought you already had a proper purse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a proper purse.
No, you have four, don't you?
Yeah. I have the fakes, Prado.
I'm keeping score. And also, you know, it's kind of disconcerting when you realize someone is keeping track of you.
Yeah.
In a way that you might not be. Like, oh, do I have four?
Right. I didn't even think about it.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you a very, very painful story, actually, from my own history, where... I believe a friend was envious, and it destroyed our friendship. And it was one of those things, I didn't see it coming. So in last week's episode, we talked a little bit about Grunhild, and we
were talking about... Not her real name.
Yes, shockingly, not her real name. And we talked about, you know, how she had this pattern of behavior, but you thought you were immune.
Yes.
And this is kind of what happened with me. So my first job out of college had two women a few years older than I was, and we became instant and fast friends. Grunhild and Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Not her real name.
Not at all.
And they were married, and they were they loved hearing my dating trials and tales of woe. They were really great friends. I babysat their kids. They visited me in the hospital when I was really sick. They gave me hand-me-downs when I had my little princess. And they really did feel like big sisters to me. Grunhild lived in this big house, and she'd invite us over for lunch, and we'd go out for margaritas. And it was just like... everything you believe female friendship could be. And then I wrote a book, and it was my first book, you know, trying to get published. And I thought it was this light romantic comedy, funny, you know. And I remember, you know, both of them like, "Oh, that's great. Good for you. Let us know how it goes." Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I finished the book, I asked them both to read it, because we were no longer working at this little company, and Grunhild was an editor and an English teacher.
Wow.
So I was like, this will be fantastic to get her feedback. And Helen said, "Well, you know, I really only read magazines."
Yeah.
But I said, "Oh, but please, you know, it means so much to me." And she's like, "Yeah, sure. I don't know what I have to offer, but I'd love to." So I got the manuscript back from Grunhild almost right away. 50 pages in an envelope.
Jeez.
And her first comment was on page 3,
mm-hmm.
and it said, "Millie," my main character, "Millie is an asshole." Right? And it went downhill from there.
Yeah.
She started off easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then amped up. There were lots of red marks. There was lots of crossing out. There was lots of scribbling.
Jeez.
Lots of capital letters. You know, it was like being yelled at. "No, stupid.
Oh,
I hate this." Ugh. And she never sent me any more than the 50 pages. And boy, was I grateful.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
I mean, goodness. Yeah. To see all that red ink in general.
And just so angry. Yeah. You know? And I was crushed.
And so out of the blue. You weren't expecting that at all.
No, and she's one of my best friends, you know? Yeah. Literally came to my bedside when I was almost dying, you know?
Yeah.
So if one of your closest friends hates it, you know, it's a real punch in the throat.
Sure.
And what do you do, right? You think, is she right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it really undermined my confidence. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? This, I felt, was kind of mean and unwarranted. But we have this now, like, 17-year friendship.
Wow.
You know, a long friendship. And she had been so good to me. She had been at my bedside when I was so sick and gave me all those clothes. And, you know, so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then Helen, our other friend, read the book and she asked me to come over for lunch. And she said, I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some really constructive comments about where to improve and things that seemed clunky to her. And she finished by saying, I think it's adorable, and I think it's going to be published.
Wow.
So it was thrilling.
Yeah.
And then she said, so what did Grunhild think of it? And I didn't want to, you know, be catty. Or,
sure.
You know, they were actually closer friends than I was. I was like, you know, the little sister.
Right,
they were the twins. And I said, well, she didn't like it as much as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very emphatic about it. And Helen said, well, did you know she tried to sell a book too? No, I did not.
No.
That had never come up in conversation.
That would have been good information to have.
In a year of writing a book, she'd never mentioned, oh, yeah, I tried that too. So Helen told me she submitted it to one publisher and got rejected, as one does.
Yeah. Happens.
And then she just stopped.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. Because, you know, we're both writers and we know you can't listen to rejections.
No, you just have to keep going.
So time passed. I got an agent. I got a sale. And, but I never bring up the book.
Right.
When Helen asks, I give them a very short answer. And then finally I said, well, you know, it's coming out in November. And Helen goes crazy. She's so excited.
Right.
She's so happy. She has all these questions. Grunhild says, oh, that's great. The end.
Yeah. That's sort of like that in the article, that one ignoring, or what was it?
Sitting in silence.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Mm.
So I had to write the acknowledgments, which is one of the best parts of being a writer. And I thought, you know, they both read the book. They both took time with it. I'm going to put them both in. So I put them both in their real names.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my author copies about a month before the book came out, and I sent them both one. And at this point, Helen lives in California, and she calls me first. And she's, like, screaming with excitement. Your book is so beautiful. I can't believe you put me in the acknowledgments.
Wow.
Kristen, thank you. Oh, my gosh. This is so funny. I'm so proud of you. You know, like, what you'd expect your big sister friend to say. And she said, what did Grunhild say? And I said, you know, I haven't heard from her, which is odd because we both lived in the same state.
You'd
think that she would get her package first. But so I don't hear from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hear from her the next week and the week after and months. Okay. She never says. So finally, I reach out to her and I say, did you ever get the copy of the book that I sent you? Because I never heard from you. And I have to say, you know, I was a little hurt. You know, it's my first book and, you know, I put you in the acknowledgments.
And what did she say?
She went crazy. I mean, it was terrifying. She was furious. And she said, like, oh, I'm sorry. Didn't I worship
Good
your little
God.
Book enough? Just didn't I bow down in front of you because you published a book? And I was like, you know, I didn't know what to say. And I said, but, you know, I mean, I thought you would just at least acknowledge it. And, you know, were you happy to see your name in the acknowledgments? And she just was on this tear. And then she starts lying. And she said, didn't you get my card?
Mm.
I sent you a card. Didn't you get my flowers? You never sent me a thank you note for my flowers. What about when I called you from the bookstore?
Oh, my God.
And I said, Grunhild, None of those things happened.
Yeah.
I got no card, no call, no flowers. And then it became like, oh, so now I'm a liar. And yeah, and just, I was crying at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a yeller.
Of course not.
No. We've been friends for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
I have never yelled in your presence.
No.
Unless it's at my dogs. or my kids.
Yeah.
But I'm just stunned. You know, I remember I was in my bedroom sitting on the floor behind my bed, like a little kid who was crying.
Oh,
and I was crying and saying, please, please stop, please.
Oh,
because,
man.
You know, you can't unhear these
things.
That's right. Right?
That's right.
And this was, you know, my big sister.
Yeah.
And she had been so wonderful to me. And, you know, I don't know what happened.
It just seems to me that it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't expect that.
Well,
obviously. I mean, so why do you think she acted like that?
I think that part of it was, you know, I had done something that she had wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when she got called on, you know, not great behavior, not being happy for a friend, maybe it was, like, too embarrassing to admit, like, hey, I tried to write a book too and I didn't go anywhere and I was just a little jealous, or I think, you know, she had always been superior to me.
Yeah.
Older.
Right.
My boss at that first job, you know, married before I did, kids before I did. She was always able to be that Lady Bountiful friend.
Right.
Oh, let's go visit Kristen in the hospital.
Right.
And, you know, but then when things became even, and then when I achieved something that she had not, I think it just brought out this really ugly side to her. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it seemed to me that she had you in a little box.
Yeah.
Kristen belonged here, and, you know, she can't keep up with me.
Yeah.
As I'm moving along in this world.
Right.
And it must have been horrible for her to see that you had achieved something that she had tried to do and been rejected.
I know. And the thing is, you know, like, if we had talked more, then I would have said, don't take rejection. Keep trying, you know,
because
I was at that point getting a lot of great information and meeting other authors. And you learn rejection is just part of the game.
It is. Yeah.
But it was not something that she was going to let us bond over. And that, you know, that was really, really hard. And, you know, you can't come back from that kind of thing. I think after that, but it was over.
Yeah, the damage is done at that point.
It was done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it was so upsetting. It was so hurtful. You know, I carried that with me. Like, I still can't think of her without thinking, how did we stop being friends?
Right.
You know, we had so much fun together. We had, you know, 20 years of friendship, and she was there at so many pivotal moments of my life, and I was there at pivotal moments of hers. And how do you throw that away?
Maybe
over
she didn't
one thing?
Value it as much as you did.
I guess not. But, you know, like, that's something that has happened. Is like, I do wonder how people can't value bonds and long-time friendships especially. That brings us to a letter, Joss.
That we got, and I'm going to read it right now. Starts, "Dear ladies, I belong to a group of friends and we all get along except one, Carlotta."
Not her real name.
"We all work in the same office and we're all hired at the same time and all fell in together going out to lunch and going out after work. In a very short time, it became apparent that she was the group's problem child. At best, this woman is tolerable. At worst, competitive, aggressive, jealous, irritating, and has no self-awareness." It's just a whole long list.
What a prize.
"She doesn't pick up on social cues, invades personal space, doesn't seem to recognize when the rest of us are uncomfortable with her rudeness or arrogance. The thing is, she's not that great at anything. And every time one of us has a cool thing happen, gets a raise, gets engaged, she gets quiet."
There you go.
"Mad, won't talk, and
isn't happy.
Isn't happy at all. We realize she's not a friend, but don't know how to get rid of her. Please help, ladies. We don't know what to do.
This is a great letter, right? We've all had that one person in a group, and group dynamics are so fraught and complicated anyway.
Right.
But the first thing that leaped out is, if this is a work thing, that's an easy solution. Talk to your boss, talk to HR if this is interfering with work.
Right.
And document the times that she's infringed. Both of those things.
Yes.
On your ability to work, or has disrupted the workplace with her attitude.
Right.
Or her comments, behavior. But if it's social, and that was the impression that I got.
Yeah, same. Then I would say pull back. Don't have your lunch outings where you're in a sort of a work setting. I'm doing the air quotes here. go out after work. Make plans on the weekends. Make it very, very social. Separate it. Keep that boundary.
But don't make those nights or lunches about Carlotta and what a raging bitch she is.
Right.
Because then you give her, what do they call it, free rent in your
head. Yes. Yeah. It's really important to maintain a friendship that has nothing to do with what's going on in the office.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, be honest. If she's like, hey, you know, what are you doing for lunch? Just say, I'm sorry, I have plans. And if she says, can I come? Say, not this time.
Yeah.
But also, I think, you know, once in a while, it's not going to hurt you to sit down and have a cup of coffee with her if you have to.
Yeah.
Just to maintain a pleasant workspace. I also say, call her on her bitchery.
Yeah. You can do it in a pleasant way,
That's our motto,
yes.
Joss.
Yes, it is.
Girl power defeating bitchery.
Yeah.
And say, you know, hey, I got engaged and you didn't say anything, Carlotta. So are you happy for me? Like, are you just going to ignore it?
Yeah, I think it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
But I think if she continues with her silence and being very sort of abusive in the office, you just might want to limit your contact with her.
Yeah.
Stay professional at work, of course.
Yes.
Always stay professional and as pleasant as you can be at work. And as Kristen said, bring up all of this stuff if it's interfering with how you do your job and the work that you turn in to your supervisor or whatever. You want to document it and bring it up with HR and then outside of the office. And just maintain those boundaries. I think that's important.
And you know what? I'm gonna recant what I just said.
What?
About the engagement ring.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a personal thing that she hasn't commented on, fine.
Yeah.
You know, she's showed her true color. She's not really your friend.
Plus it's work. You don't
it's
have
work.
To do
you
this
don't have
at
to
work.
Talk about your engagement ring.
Yeah.
But if it's something about work, you say, did you get that document?
Right.
You didn't respond to it.
Right.
And now that I'm your boss, I need to know that you got
Correct.
It. Correct. But you know, kindness, even to those who don't always earn it, is really good karma.
Yeah.
It's true kindness.
It is.
Know?
And you don't have to be generous with your time with her, but you maintain your professionalism and always be pleasant.
Pleasant, compassionate.
Yes.
But she's not yours to fix.
She's not.
And honestly, you can't fix her anyway, so.
And I would just say, if you're in the office and she's not doing her work, just copy all her emails around so everyone can see that you're doing your job, but she's not the one doing her job.
Yeah.
So everyone can see that pattern.
Right.
'Cause,
good advice.
Yeah, I've known people like that.
Yeah.
Especially in the office. They do make it difficult to do your job, but it's oftentimes hard to pinpoint because the behavior is so back alley type.
Right.
You know, it's sort of hard to oh, she did this. You can't really point to something.
Yeah.
So
she didn't say anything during the meeting.
Right.
Well, that does matter.
Right.
And she didn't contribute anything to the meeting.
Right.
Not her sullen attitude or whatever.
Back up your work. Stay pleasant. Mm-hmm.
I had a coworker who would sabotage my work. I would send her a document, and then she would misspell something put it in the ad.
Wow.
And so I had to go to my boss and say, here's the document I sent, and here's the document she presented.
Right.
Received is spelled wrong, and I'm sorry. Yeah. I would slice my own throat
before
I spell that word wrong.
As
would
we
never
all.
Happen.
Yeah.
So she was sabotaging work, and I think a lot of it had to do with we were both hired at the same time.
Right.
She was in the art department. I was in the copywriting department, and I was kind of like my boss's darling because I was doing things that he didn't ask me to do. And
right.
And that sounds really dirty. It wasn't. I'm just like, I was like, hey, I saw that you had this project and right. I wrote this side copy
right.
for it
right.
in case you want to do blah. And so I was really popular at that job and with our bosses. And she was keeping track of how many times, you know, someone got a pat on the head or who right. got which account. And she would sabotage it. So yeah. I would document it.
Document
because
everything.
I wasn't, you know, wasn't a personality
right.
thing outside of work. It
right.
was all inside of work.
Right.
And
I would also say, don't feel bad about the way your relationship is going to change now if you follow these suggestions. You
right.
know, you're keeping your boundaries nice and strong and you're not blurring the lines between what you do at work and what you do on your own time. Don't feel bad about that. I think women have a tendency to think it's going to hurt someone's feelings
mm-hmm.
and don't want to do that. And so you linger in something that's toxic because you don't want to hurt someone's
right.
feelings.
Right.
So I think it's okay to feel okay that
you're standing up for
yeah,
yourself.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. That's this week's episode.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends on iTunes and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net.
I'm Joss Day.
And I'm Kristen Higgins.
And we're best friends
forever.